28 years ago, Roger Jones was en route from Halifax to Truro to surprise his mother, but he never made it to Truro. The car went off the road, and the accident left him a quadriplegic. But that hasn't slowed him down at all. He spent nearly three decades as a consultant, entrepreneur, and an advocate for disability and diversity rights. Tomorrow, he's speaking at the 6th Annual Symposium on Inclusive Education and Employment. The symposium starts today in Halifax. Roger Jones, welcome to Main Street.
Thank you for having me.
That night back in 1985, can you tell me what happened?
Well, I was working in Halifax here, actually. Two jobs. The hospitality industry as well. My mom was getting an award, as you mentioned. And I wanted to be there, but I couldn't because I was working. So I asked my friend to pick me up after my second job. The idea being that we would drive to my hometown, surprise my mom, and make breakfast for her the next morning. Unfortunately, I said some words that I regret now, and I said, "If you fall asleep, wake me up and I'll drive." I woke up, both of us had fallen asleep, and the car rolled off the highway. Life changed from that point on.
How did you adjust to that after the accident?
Well, it was difficult at first. I spent 6 months here in the Fiji hospital, followed by another year intensive training at Nova Scotia Rehabilitation Center, and a further 6 months as an outpatient. I always say it was 2 years of hell.
How old were you?
I was 25 years old, full of piss and vinegar, testosterone. And it was with the support of, family, friends, some people in the medical field, I was able to pull through.
In terms of mindset, how did you go about approaching a recovery?
At first, it was difficult, but my family and my friends would not let me give up. I don't think it was actually me. I think it was more them than it was me. I'm a survivor. I just kept going and looking for a better life.
Oh, what was the biggest challenge for you in your recovery?
At first, I could not talk at all, which for me is something difficult. I was paralyzed from the chin down. I had tracheotomy. They cut a hole in my throat because I couldn't breathe. The only way I could communicate was actually by blinking my eyes. That was really difficult for me. Having to ask for things. We take it for granted, but I found it very, very difficult to ask someone to do something as simple as wash my face or brush my teeth. It took me many years to be able to get to the point where I could actually accept help from people graciously.
You left Nova Scotia for Vancouver years ago. What brought you out west?
I always say that I was forced to leave. I know it sounds a bit harsh, but conditions for people with disabilities back in the mid-80s was harsh. We did not have wheelchair-accessible buses. There were no trains. In the wintertime, when it snowed, we have pretty good snow removal here. But literally, I would be stuck at home for months at a time. We didn't have support from government. There were many people like myself who sometimes were forced to stay in bed until noon hour because our lives were being dictated by agencies. Waiting for someone to come. And then at 6 or 7 in the evening, they would force you to go back to bed because of scheduling problems. It goes on and on and on. Some people say that I had a choice, but that's like saying, the Acadians who were expelled had a choice, or people in Africville had a choice, or my ancestors who escaped slavery and came here through the Underground Railroad had a choice. My choice was to stay here and die a slow death or go somewhere else where I could see a better life.
What you found in Vancouver, how is it more accessible than Halifax?
I went first on business. And when I arrived, I got off the plane, I went out to the front of the airport, and there was a wheelchair-accessible taxi. I had never seen a wheelchair-accessible taxi. Not only that, there was an entire fleet of taxis, and this was the law. I was overwhelmed. I go to my hotel. When I get there, I said, I was so excited. I want to explore Vancouver now. I decide to call a cab again. The bellman says to me, "Well, why not take a bus? It's right outside the door. It's a lot cheaper." And I remember thinking, how stupid are these people in Vancouver? Doesn't he see I'm in a wheelchair? But he then tells me, well, you just wheel onto the bus and the driver will come and help and he'll tie you down and you can get on the bus. And now I'm even more excited. When I get downtown, they told me, now you can go on the sea bus. You can actually go to a different city and it's totally accessible. So I did that. And then they tell me there's a train, a sky train. I mean, by the time I finished that trip, I was just so excited about life again. I came back to Halifax. I gave notice, and 6 months later, I was living on the West Coast.
Have you met other people who've experienced a similar reason to move out west from here?
Unfortunately, there are many. Every day I meet someone else, even today, who've left home and gone to other places just so that they can live what a friend of mine calls the good life. Don't get me wrong, it's not perfect. They didn't tell me that it rains 364 days a year in Vancouver. but certainly compared to here, it was a big difference.
The symposium's theme that you're going to be keynote speaker at is on inclusivity in employment. And what is the biggest challenge for those with disabilities in the workplace, would you say?
There are a few issues here. One, I always say you can't legislate attitude, but we are certainly lacking in credible legislation for people with disabilities. In the United States, they have something called the American Disability Act. In Europe, they have the Disability Discrimination Act. There are similar legislations all over the world, but we don't have anything in Nova Scotia, or indeed even in all of Canada. That's a key area. Now, I have heard since I've been here that the government here is looking into enacting some legislation. But as the conference says, we need to go from conversation to action. We've been talking about these things for a long time. I think legislation is one of the big areas that needs to be changed. And also just the infrastructure. I talked about transportation and, you know, health services, all those sorts of things. It's not really the disability. It's really the barriers that society puts in front of us that stops us from doing things. I mean, if I can be independent or interdependent, as I prefer to say, in Vancouver, there's no reason why I shouldn't be able to do that here in Nova Scotia.
Interdependent, what's your definition for that?
Well, I don't think any of us live in isolation. Having a disability is no different. I still rely on friends and family and other supports, and they rely on me.
What can Nova Scotia do better when it comes to accessibility issues? You've touched on some of this, and where does the action come from?
I'm actually quite amazed at the changes that I've seen just in the few days that I've been here. I think that the people here are doing a great job trying to improve access and inclusion.
Yes, you must notice some things from when you left to coming back.
There are. Now. I mean, I understand that there are now over 20 accessible taxis, for example. That's a concrete change. When I was here in the late 80s, we fought all levels of government and the taxi industry and even the public trying to initiate a taxi system, and we could not do it. We failed. So to see that is a big improvement. I understand that they also have a direct funding program. It's not perfect, but this is a system where people with disabilities can get funding directly to them that helps them to hire their own staff and train and administer it. That's something that thousands of people in Nova Scotia could take advantage of. So we're not there yet, but there are improvements.
Because in the past in Nova Scotia, people with disabilities haven't had any control over who their caretaker is.
Absolutely no control. And in some cases, and one of the reasons why I left was partly out of fear, is that you would be put in an institution. And I can recall visiting many institutions here where young people, younger than I was at the time, were basically incarcerated, sometimes alongside seniors who were terminally ill. So you can imagine what life would be like for those people.
You've been an activist and an entrepreneur for nearly 30 years.
You're dating me.
What are you most proud of?
Oh, wow. So many things. I formed a company at one point, World Accessibility, and we created pioneering video conferencing software that predated the Skypes and the MSNs of today. Interestingly enough, I did that primarily because I did not want to see people with disabilities living in isolation like they were in Nova Scotia.
Roger, thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Thank you for having me.
Roger Jones is an entrepreneur, consultant, and disability activist. Tomorrow, he'll be delivering a keynote speech at the 6th Annual Symposium on Inclusive Education and Employment. And if you'd like more information on the conference, you can look at their website, abilitystartshere.ca.